This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Di blu. Poi d'improvviso venivo dal vento rapito e incominciavo a volare nel cielo infinito. Volare, oh, cantare. Dipinto di blu, felice di stare lassù, e volavo, volavo, felice più in alto del sole ed ancora più su, mentre il mondo pian piano spariva lontano laggiù. Una musica dolce suonava soltanto per me. Volare, oh, cantare, oh, nel blu, dipinto di blu, felice di stare lassù. Musica dolce suonava soltanto per me. Volare, oh, cantare, oh, nel blu, dipinto di blu, felice di stare lassù. Una musica dolce suonava soltanto per me. Volare, oh, cantare, oh, nel blu, dipinto di blu, felice di stare lassù. mia giovinezza che volava. Mi darete di più. Oh sì, voi mi trepidante sarete tra le mie braccia aperte, tra le mie braccia aperte, e sul mio cuore della mia gioventù prendete il fiore del mio giovine sangue, l'ardor prendete, battetevi l'amor, gioventù prendete il fiore del mio giovine sangue, l'ardore prendete.
Time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol. The following program is brought to you by Carol Cox. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.
Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. That was Mr. Luciano Pavarotti. I was playing that for all of us, but more specifically, my friend Celeste Volks and her family, the great people. And again, like I shared with you last week, she's a bit under the weather. Celeste, we're with you and always appreciate everything you've shared with us and all the good talks and the good times of going and listening to concerts and all of that, and especially your guidance and proofreading, and you name it. She was quite active with me on this show, and I relied on her opinions and sharing. And also, when you're living afar from your family, and you know, we're so mobile in the nuclear families these days, and We're born in Mississippi and end up living on an island in the Pacific. So quite naturally, geographically, you don't really have the luxury of a family. But this family, the Veeks, with the father, Wally, and the brothers and sisters and all, absolutely, you can adopt a family these days and be just as happy as you were right at home. And I've come to expect that and enjoy, and as I say, she's under the weather. But also, before I go any further, that I wanted to wish my little buddy, Choice Williams, out there a happy birthday. I was going to try and have him in the studio, but he has a birthday party anyway. But, yeah, I just hope that everything is well with the family out there, the Vokes. As I say, the daughter is Jill Vokes, who is quite helpful in helping the animals and the veterinarian. So, you know, nothing goes undone with that family. So I appreciate inviting us into your family and sharing with us and allowing us just to tap into some of the love. So thank you, and we're with you, and we'll always be there. And so, again, I'll play a little bit more, and, you know, it's most of the time it's blues, but we'll get away a little bit from the blues and get a little more upscale downtown music for a minute. But anyway, a lot in the news, a lot of things out there that just really kind of scary. There's nothing wrong with molasses, no problem with that, just a sticky little substance. But it's the what's behind the scenes that goes on within the government that covers it up and hides it. And you know, I think the most difficult part about all of this is that these are people, the government, they know what you're talking about. They know who you are. They're chasing Snowden for releasing records to let you know that they're listening in on you. But they can't look at the big boys to see if they have a leaky pipe, but they were there and they tell them that, you know. All the important things that protect us collectively on a larger scale, it seems to miss their radar. But they know if Jerry went to Miami to buy fish and moved it to Chicago, they'll know that. So it's a funny thing. I guess, again, is that the fascism that people warn us about? Big business, no problem. Little man is a problem. So we look at all of this, whether it's the sludge moving out to Waianae, whether it's cement dumped in the ocean. And what about this fat pill or this diet pill that people are getting sick and linking it to the death of individuals and liver problems and hepatitis? And the same folks now that manages molasses spills, that protect us from the molasses spill, I'm talking about the Department of Health. Imagine they sat on their thumbs and let people take these pills and drugs, and guess what happened? People are dying. Yet they know every conversation you have. Everything. Isn't that amazing? And then the sad part about it is we have people, we invest our trust in people like Gary Gill. I mean, come on. You might as well give me the wheels to the 747 over there on the runway and tell me to drive. I don't have any experience. I'm afraid of heights, but hell, I'll do it if you just put me in, because my father is somebody. My uncle is somebody. That's all that matters. I can put on a Aloha shirt and walk around empty and lying to people and blocking and defending violators. I could do that. Hell, that's easy. Just show me the money. And you mean I get a little fame too? I get to call myself Director of Health Department? Wow. And then we go over to the Department of Transportation. What a sad bunch of folks. I mean, these are the people who we recently bought you the crumbling rails along the Kalaunui-Oli Highway. But not to mention the crumbling rails, think about the bridge that they sat by and watched. You say, I know it takes time to plan. But something's crazy about this place, man. Really, really crazy. And they don't tell you the truth. We go up to Waimanawa Gulch Landfill. It was Gary Gill right in office. A couple of first days standing on Mount Waimanawa Gulch. Waving his cane as if he was Moses. Telling the world, I anoint this filthy place. It's loaded with trash and about to burst at the seams. It's flooding and about to run down the hill and destroy the Kahi power plant with 7 million gallons of water possible. Oh, but I got a excuse for that. We could pull the wool over the public's eyes. We'll just tell them it's a 100-year flood. And in fact, we'll just tell them also that Noah is thinking about building his another ark. Because this is a 100-year flood when he stood there knowing that there were 7 million gallons of water, knowing that medical waste had been dumped. Already flowing, he knew that he had reports from his people, his inspectors, that spoke specifically that there was medical waste overflowing the leachate ponds and running down the storm drain into the ocean. He also knew that he stood there with his cane after it turned from a snake to a stick or whatever these bureaucrats carry, and professed to be the appointed, anointed by all other, nobody other than Mr. Neil Abercrombie. And guess what happened? It was Gary Gill who authorized the city and others to dump the medical waste. Never sent a single email, letter, note, sign, or anything. And in fact, in an effort to hide it and conceal it, temporarily hired people to go out and pick up medical waste with just basic cotton gloves and what have you, and plastic bags. So, strange world out there. It really is. And I guess the most unfortunate thing is if you have a family member who was worth something, you don't have to be worth anything. All you need to do is be part of the crowd and get appointed. And then you can lie and conceal and drag your feet about the release or the removal or the banning of a medical substance or a supplement, a dietary supplement that causes illnesses. You could stand there and have no conscience and let it get by you. And then, by the way, you know what really, it really complicates this matter? I just read the other day in the paper that they are subpoenaing the records. Now, there's a funny thing about that. I think the State Department of Health is actually participating as a beneficiary of that, saying that they need records from Mattson. But isn't it funny that it was the Department of Transportation who said, we have to mull over this to see if we have the right to release this document that we produced, to a warning to Mattson that it was leaking a year ago. Well, we got to contact our lawyers and see if it's attorney-client privileges. Where's the subpoena on the Department of Transportation? And in fact, where's the subpoena on the Department of Health? Solid and Hazardous Waste, Clean Water Branch, they have a file. But guess what? This is the danger of when they come to town, you see. They come to town to cover up. They stood there with their Aloha shirts on. And I'm going to talk about this gentleman, Chris Lee. A couple of questions, as I told you. He was a spokesperson quite often in some of the news pieces about the molasses. And Chris Lee is of Mattson, and he is, some say, the safety manager. The other day I heard him, he was introduced to some other role. But Mr. Lee was also at one time, or still is, and we can't get any clarification. We've written him a number of questions, and to Mattson. And basically, what I sent him was a letter and saying I'm preparing to discuss the spill of molasses in the Honolulu Harbor. And this was done on the 26th of September. Now, I'm particularly interested in learning more specifics about your role as safety manager as reported in media. I'm also interested in your past and current status as a commissioned officer, lieutenant commander in the United States Coast Guard. I'm quite curious as to how this elite force comes in from the Coast Guard and plops down here and then leaves and say everything is fine and is looking good and is clear and the water is clearing up, and then weeks later voila. Oh, it's the worst we've ever seen. The coral is dying and on and on and on. Imagine. The sad part about it is that we mislabel this activity as cover-ups. But everything is so obvious. There's no cover-up. It is blatant. It is obvious. A cover-up is when you conspire and you conceal and you do overt things and you take something and you create a ruse. They don't go to that length. They don't bother. They being the government here. They don't. They don't have a need for it. And we'll talk about Hawaiian homelands where you can find violation after violation, abuse of authority after abuse of authority, row acts and different acts. Who do you complain to? No one. Because it goes nowhere. Today's paper, a story we've done a year ago back in 2012 about abandoned homes, boarded up homes on Hawaiian homeland. Time and time again, the hatchets, the abuse of the leases and what have you. And there's just absolutely no accountability at the top. None. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Yo, what's up, Carol Cox?
Well, not much, but you got to have something relevant to this right now. So what you got?
So, like, what is going on with all the homelands and stuff? Like, what is going on with, like, all the homelands, like, in Hawaii?
Well, what's your opinion? You've been reading? You watched the news?
I haven't been watching the news, but I mean, like, I think there should be, like, clean water and, like, you know, I think there should be, like, I think all the homelands should be clean. I don't think they should be dirty or anything.
Right. Well, nobody wants to drink dirty water, right?
No.
Yeah, so.
No, I mean, like, because, you know, I mean, you know, you want to have a nice homeland and stuff.
You got to turn that down a bit, Jacob.
Oh, sorry. There's NFL on. Like, but I mean, I've been talking to you like a while. Sorry I didn't call you last week.
Well, we invited you in and you didn't come in.
What do you mean?
I invited you down to the studio and visit with us.
Oh, sorry. I couldn't come in. We do football every Sunday.
They make portable TVs, you know.
We watch football like every Sunday. Like you got the NFL Sunday ticket. You know, we got the NFL Sunday ticket on DirecTV. You know, all the games on every Sunday. You know,
right.
I was in the Milwaukee game last week Friday.
Okay,
we played against Diane. We beat them.
Well, yeah.
And then I was watching Lelehua versus Moanalua, and Milan against Lelehua again.
Okay.
We played Lelehua for homecoming, and now we're playing them again in the playoffs.
Well, put some notes together, and one day you can come in and tell us what you think about the high school football scene. Let's do that. You hear that offer?
I'm
inviting you to put something together, and we'll talk later, okay?
Oh, okay.
All right,
we got the Milwaukee Trojans.
All righty. Take care. Bye. Anyway, some of the things that I was asking Mr. Chris Lee. Now, you know, imagine of the Matson. Imagine now when things were unfolding, and if I recall right, they weren't aware, and the state told me they really didn't know, and so. Before this call here, my point was going to get to was that, so now the EPA is involved, but they're maybe not working, or maybe they are because the government is closed and all what have you. And the only thing in this state that we will notice about the government being closed, they do nothing anyway, so you might as well, you know, the only thing that makes a difference is the employees don't get to get their money for doing nothing in a timely fashion. It's just a simple delay. Other than that, it's nothing. There's no shock to the system. Some of them are behind on the bills or living paycheck to paycheck or whatever. But that's, we have a closed government. The government is not functioning. It's only, it's now as if it's existing to feed itself. You go down to the harbors, there's lying, stealing and cheating and defrauding the public and concealing violations and what have you. And there's signs. If you go beyond the sign, you'll go to jail. If you go behind the sign, you violated the national security. And then you have all of this pilikia or trash behavior going on within government, within private companies, and the concealment. And when you ask for the information from your, quote, honest government, they lie to you. They drag their feet. And then bold enough to file a subpoena and say they want Matson's records, but while I sit here waiting for 2 weeks for records that they should give me in 24 hours or allow me to walk in and view them. So, you know, early on I had comments about, I was cautiously optimistic about EPA's role. Once again, it's all a big lie. The whole thing is a lie. Matson has already admitted they took responsibility. What's the response? To the only logical response is go out there, assess the damages, and hand them the bill as in, be consistent with that gentleman's agreement. You don't need to do an investigation. It's a knowing violation. That's what federal law states, the Clean Water Act. Whoever knowingly, and then in turn, that's sufficient. They've already admitted there's a document to say they knew about it and they were informed about it. So what's the big thing? Good morning, caller. Comment or question?
Good morning, Carol Cox. This is Miss Pete calling. I just wanted to say we're so lucky that we live in Hawaii, of course, and that we have such a beautiful environment to live in. And, you know, there are knowingly things that happen where people do illegal dumping and that kind of thing, or medical waste. They don't take care of it responsibly. And then there are accidents, as you point out. And when there is an accident, you know, especially for a big company like Matson, for them to come forward and own up to it, you know, that sets the example for everyone, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but you are so right about government. I mean, it's how many times can we talk about how government does the wrong thing? You know,
yeah.
I mean, like, it's just, we need to just do away with the whole thing, actually.
Hey, speaking of government and all, you know, Karen Iwana went into Baskin Robbins the other day, and you know the first question she asked him?
What was that?
Do you folks take cash? And they said no. Do you take MasterCard? They say no. Do you take campaigns funds? And they said, oh, of course.
Are you serious?
No.
Well, you know, I just want to say once again, and I know you hear this all the time, and it probably does, you know, you're a very humble man, and you don't really take compliments well, but, you know, we thank God for Carol Cox. We
yeah.
really do, because, you know, you're out there, and you're eyes and ears for the public, for us, for all us little guys in the big pond.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally appreciate it that you love the island and that you love the animals and the people we can do, you know, some of them we can do away with.
Wait. I love the animals, not the jackasses in government.
That's right. And I just wanted to call in and say, you know, you're doing a wonderful thing. And we all love you, Carol. Keep up the good work.
So before you go, tell me one thing. So I've been waiting. How's the book coming along?
Oh, my goodness. The book is coming along beautifully.
What are you at? Chapter?
We have about 2 chapters to go.
Okay.
We're on chapter 14, and it's just amazing. It's been 5 months or so,
mm-hmm.
and it's just amazing. Dave and I have mm-hmm. worked together really hard on this book, and we clicked the whole way, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's just been amazing.
Now, when it's ready, let's give a little background. It's not like we conspiring to write a book. You came on the show and we talked about breast implants, and then you were, Miss Terry Peak, who is the former centerfold for 1987 Penthouse October,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And
sure was, yeah.
yeah. And so you're writing a book, and what's the title of that? I know we're all over the place.
Well, the title is called Dying to be a Centerfold. And even at this moment, I can't walk. I haven't been able to walk for about 9 days.
Well, I walked by the mirror this morning. I can walk, and I walked by the mirror, and it says, no, you will never be a centerfold.
Well, you never know.
I know, with this body.
But, yeah, the book is, again, you know, we've got government that says that certain things are safe for us to take, mm-hmm. ingest, put in our bodies, all that kind of stuff, you know. And it really gets me because some of the comments that I've been getting, because I pretty much have just, you know, done away with my I kind of had a new life, and now I've gone back to my old life. But anyways, I've been very open about the fact that I was a centerfold 25 years ago now and talking to people about it. And the amazing thing to me is people go, but the girls that have had them done, they say, yes, I have this and this and this symptom, but they look good.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
But my friend had them, and hers look great. Well, it's not about how they look. Of course, we all know that some of them look great.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the subject. The subject is that when you put them inside the human body, what could happen? And what can happen is that you can become very sick. They're toxic.
Mm-hmm.
They understand that GMOs are bad. They understand that plastic bags in the environment are bad. They understand a lot of other things are bad for us. But when you mention implants, oh, no, but they said they're safe.
Yeah, well, plastic bags isn't good for the environment nor good for groceries, so why would you put plastic
right.
bags as breasts?
So what I've been doing now is I ask them, I said, well, you see that plastic water bottle that you're holding there? Would you grind that down into a fine powder and pour it into a glass of water and drink it? Well, no.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's about the same thing that you'd get, the same result, because mm-hmm. that's plastic, and what's in your body is also plastic. But the good news is, there is good news, and the good news is, the more that we talk about it, the more people will be informed.
Right.
And if they have to have them removed, it's okay.
Yeah.
They will come out fine. That's the good news. But the longer they keep them in, if they are sick, the more downhill they will go, because it really, once it gets past a certain point, like has happened with me and my joints, the joints are too far gone now, but I got my memory back, and they're not going to shut me up.
Well, we're going to talk about that. We'll set up something in the coming
very
weeks.
Soon.
And
hopefully
the book is, as I know, an excerpt from it. And this was just a spontaneous call. We hadn't let the listeners know.
No.
We hadn't planned this one. So anyway,
no.
Well, thank you,
Carol. You're a wonderful man, and I thank you very much for all you're doing for the folks and the animals and the environment.
All righty.
Carol.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Anyway, we'll get Terry Peake back on one day soon, and you can go to carolcox.com if you want to see her story or listen to her story at carolcox.com, CarrollCox.com. So this, I'm going to just jump all over the place, but it's all related. So I asked this gentleman, these are simple questions of Mr. Chris Lee at Matson. Now, remember, when the Coast Guard came to town, see, he was right there, and show and tell. And now I can't get the guy to write or respond back to an email. And I'm introduced myself as a radio host and media, and the whole works. Just refuse to respond. I've sent to their public relations, Mr. Hull, refuse to respond. I've telephoned. But anyway, we'll talk if they don't. So I ask him, are you currently employed with Matson as a safety manager, as reported in the media? If yes, what was your employment start date? Are you or were you a member of the U.S. Coast Guard? So rather than jump into conclusions, but again, if you are a reservist, what was your start date? Did you have any role or make formal requests to invite the U.S. Coast Guard National Strike Force to Honolulu? If yes, was it done by formal letter, by telephone, or other communications? Please provide copies of any communications related to this invitation and any follow-up communications. What was your role in the Coast Guard? As an active duty member, were you assigned to BP's Deepwater Horizon cleanup in the Gulf of Mexico? If yes, in what capacity did you serve? Did you serve as an incident command? So basically, if you look on the internet, you can find this gentleman who was just a safety manager at Matson. But he has an expertise in leaks and spills and the recovery and the suppression and minimizing and mitigating the damages. On a national strike force team, he was, and he trains people. So we didn't just see a little guy there. So it's amped up when we know the status and the intellect or the involvement or the background of these individuals standing there claiming ownership to this spill and apologizing and acknowledging, and they're going to take care of it. But I asked the question, is there any benefit to Matson hiring him? I don't know. These are just questions. What was your role with the U.S. Coast Guard National Strike Force during its visit to Honolulu? Did you provide information or were you interviewed as a Matson employee? You see, Coast Guard came to town to do this, quote, investigation. So did they do a formal investigation of the former lieutenant commander of the United States Coast Guard command incident? You know, whatever the titles are, you know, you get all kinds of... Did you disclose your relationship with the Coast Guard, and what steps did you take to ensure there would not be a conflict of interest? Is there a formal statement? Did the Coast Guard... I'd like to see, and I file a FOIA with the Coast Guard asking. I want to see if you were just giving us BS, or this whole thing was just BS. And you know what that means, just brown sugar, right? But because it's Sunday morning, on Monday it would be standing for something else, but to what extent did you participate in the strike force investigation of the molasses spill? Did the Coast Guard provide you or Matson with a final report? Have you provided information to the media or any state or federal agencies regarding your past or present relationship with the U.S. Coast Guard? If yes, please provide a copy of the report. When did you first become aware of the leak of molasses into the Honolulu Harbor? See, I ask that. It's a very innocent, innocuous question, but here's the problem. We're talking about a gentleman who trains people in response to major spills and environmental catastrophes, you see. So it wasn't just a simple ensign standing on the deck, you see. It was a gentleman, a lieutenant commander, as far as the records show so far on the... when you Google the name and the internet and you come up with some of these writings, but still yet, no answer from him directly. When did you first learn of the possibility that the pipes may be leaking or had other problems? You see, Matson, see, we say, oh, well, you know, now it's established that Matson had knowledge. Well, yeah, that's okay. But the problem is, Matson had knowledge through the being informed, and they should have known anyway, but then they have this expert, former Coast Guard person, the way the records were, if it's the same Chris Lee, who's specialized in this. So why was there a conflict? Why was there a drag of fit? Why didn't they fix it? Why didn't, if this is the same Chris Lee, I want to hear from him. When did you first meet the State Department of Transportation, the Health Department, and the Coast Guard to discuss DOT's 2012 letter or communication that the pipes were leaking? Now, I remember watching that movie, An Officer and a Gentleman, but I always believe that you owe an allegiance as an officer, former or present or current or future. You owe an allegiance to be truthful. And I think, I'm hoping that if this is the same Chris Lee, that he honor the rules of the road and the game. When you're an officer, then you have an allegiance to the truth. And whether you're employee or your employer, I should say. But anyway, this is what's going on with this so-called addressing of the molasses. From a scientific point, you know, it's soothing to hear they're assessing what's happening and they're telling you the nightmarish future that the coral is going to be impacted and what have you. But I want to look at the substrate down below where no oxygen reaches, where the slime and all the other activities occur within government. That's what I want to see. That's the first part of an environmental degradation. If the protectors are corrupt and living in waters that have no oxygen and walking around with no ethics, I don't care how much money you pump it. I'm still trying to figure out what the governor did with the Port Royal money that the Navy paid for running the ship aground for just busting up a little coral. I want to see that. But you know, the governor hadn't told us what he's doing with it, not in a public fashion. So my concern is this is the downstream effects. Here's what's going to happen. Consistent with all things, the way we address the environmental issues. There's going to be a great flow of money. The tap is going to open, and there's going to be buckets and buckets and barrels of money. And then you're going to get special favors. The governor, the legislators, and all of those people are going to pick some slick, fancy nonprofit, maybe even create one, and hand them the money. Then they're going to give some to the UH, and they're going to all buy fancy gadgets and all. And maybe 20 cents of each $100 may go directly to the environment. And the rest will be in pass-through monies back to candidates and campaigns and hiring their kin and relatives or friends, or just simply diverting the money to something else because the money is earmarked, and whoever monitors that. Have you ever seen an audit on the actual spending of monies recovered? See, this is the really stinky side of environmental protection that we, you and I, don't really get to know unless you know that it's out there. You see, that's the problem. So, many things, and going to talk about the Hawaiian homes. And if you have a comment or question, I know this isn't the kind of show you like to call in, and I don't engage in debate and argument with you. But you're welcome to call in. But I just tell you the facts. Looking one layer below the superficial nonsense that the government put on. If there's a subpoena for the records from Mattson, then there should be a subpoena immediately for the records from Department of Health, Clean Water Branch, DOT, and any other entity having anything to do with it. That's then we'll see justice. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
This is Uncle Joe.
Oh, I recognize the voice. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Well, you recovered from last night?
A little under, but recovered.
Okay, well, it was nice having you out there, and so I guess whether this is Joe Tassel, commissioner of the, one of the commissioners of the Hawaiian Homelands Commission, correct?
Correct.
And share with us, I heard you early on Polka's show, and you sound like you were just grinding up to call in on this show, and I'm ready.
So I was just lining up to get started.
Let me have it.
Well, you know, talking about that, about the harbor thing, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I said on the earlier show that, you know, that's part of natural resources that is part of the ceded lands,
mm-hmm.
and that is payable to Hawaiian people.
Yeah.
And when that molasses covered up the coral, the molasses covered up the natural resource.
Right.
Now, the natural resource of the coral makes the limu, and the limu feeds the fish, and the mm-hmm. fish feeds the people.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, and like I said earlier, you know, very elementary. If you're taking material out of one vessel and you're putting it in another vessel, as the level drops in the vessel you're extracting from, the level rises in the vessel that you're putting it into. Now somebody was napping, because when the level kept on dropping in one vessel, the level stopped moving up in the other, and that was fair warning that something is wrong. Shut down, shut down. Mm-hmm. And apparently they did not shut down until, how many gallons? I can't remember. 23,000 gallons, et cetera, et cetera.
223 or 7 rail tankers. But, you know, it is so specious, this whole presentation that they... 26,000 fish. Well, I didn't see anybody in that bunch that could count that high, first of all.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna tell you the truth. And I don't see any way they could quantify, because they didn't scour it. They didn't take a net and drag it as a seine to just collect. They had Pinco. And 26,000, you know, come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
and like you just got you saying, you know, everybody is to fault.
Yeah.
From the very top down.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, who's minding the store?
Well, let me ask you this. Speaking of our friend, Mr. Abercrombie, I got a hand on it, Neil, went off to France, right?
No, gee, I don't know where he went.
Well, yeah, I understood, unless I misread the reports, that he went off to France. And while we were wallowing in molasses and sludge, right, and people dying, and, you know, the people that felt they were overweight or wanted to manage their beauty, they're dropping like flies, and he went off to France. You know, well, I would like to say to the voters out there, let's send him off for good come the election.
Well, you know, I put my credibility on the line at the last campaign, and I'm very disappointed.
Yeah, well.
Very, very disappointed.
I've been tricked, Uncle Joe. That's what I say. He tricked me. I thought the guy was a Democrat, liberal, and I've never seen anything so misinterpreted in my life. I was wrong.
Well, we'll see what happens in 2014.
Well, the ballots, I guess people just got to use those ballots in a way that they never used them before. Clean up government, right?
Yeah, because, you know, funny how we're the host culture, but we're strangers in our own land.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm disappointed.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about that boarded up
homes. In another time.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the boarded up homes in coming next hour. You're going to join me, I hope. And then we'll talk about the gravel gate out there where we had you last night. And
I was amazed. My eyes were open again.
I just wish that others involved in government and your capacity as commissioners and what have you would take hold of that word and use it in the right sense rather than being used to just show up and to rubber stamp what it is the governor or whoever appointed them. So I applaud you for being out there in the elements and the rain, the weather, and late at night standing there. So that showed me you're definitely committed.
Well, all I'm doing, Carol, is taking my oath of office,
mm-hmm.
of being a commissioner. And taking the fiduciary responsibility that I am entrusted in,
mm-hmm.
to
mm-hmm.
take care of our people, and that's exactly what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to showcase or anything like that, you know. No. I got a long legacy in Hawaiian Homes, and so I'm just out there praising my grandmother who took me home from the hospital a long time ago and gave me life, you know.
Right.
In Hawaiian Homes in Waimanalo. So I owe it to grandmother. Thank you to my grandmother. And I owe it to Homestead.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably not have a home to go to had grandmother not have a home back then.
Yeah. And at the rate, if Hawaiian Homelands are around, keep staying around, you ain't going to have anything anyway.
Well, you know, like I said, I raised my hand at the House Chambers that day that... they asked me to raise my hand and take the oath of office mm-hmm. as a commissioner. I took on the responsibility wholeheartedly. That's what I'm there for.
Yeah. Well, call back in the next hour, right at 10:05.
Okay, I just checked in to find out about the molasses. I just wanted to get my point across. Somebody was napping.
All righty. Well, take care.
Okay.
Aloha.
Aloha.
All right. So, real quick, guys, on Saturday, October 19th at 11 o'clock, there will be a protest. This is an email I got, sign waving and what have you, at the entry of Chaminade University at Wailea Avenue, 3140 Wailea. Why is the protest? It says the protest, Chaminade's recent ban on feeding and sterilizing campus cats and refusing to respond to multiple requests by Hawaiian Humane Society, Humane Society of the United States, Animal Rights Hawaii, Hawaii Cat Foundation, Best Friends, and numerous individuals requesting meeting to address concerns about federal cats on campus. Please come and, if possible, bring a sign. Some signs will be provided, but we can always use more. Suggested signage. Make lettering big so it can be read easily by people driving by. And it's okay to be a copycat. No, I just threw that in. Just anyway. Where is the compassion? Chaminade starves and kills cats, the email says. Shame on Chaminade. Chaminade cruelty to animals. Save Chaminade's cats. Chaminade kills cats. So, anyway, WWJD, I don't know. Jesus wouldn't neuter cats. Wow, that's scary. Jesus would TNR cats. Disneyland neuters, Chaminade kills. Cats. Stanford University spays, neuters, Chaminade University starves, kills. This is the claim in the email. So anyway, Saturday, October 19th at 11 o'clock a.m., a protest is being held there at Wailea Avenue, 3140 Wailea Avenue, or at Chaminade College. So we'll talk a little bit more about it later on. But be kind to me and be kind to the animals. All righty. We'll see you in the next hour. Aloha.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.
This is KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Tanta gente, la mia voce. voce se ne va, la distesa per tutti i continenti, qualcuno piange di commozione quando canto una melodia d'amore. Della mia città vorrei cantare, non partire mai, perché sono nato in questa terra che per suo calore non si può dimenticare.
Perché fior di margherita, cos'è mai la vita se non c'è l'amore che il nostro cuore fa palpitare? Fior di verbena, se qualche pena l'amor ci dà, ma come il vento che in un momento poi passa e va. Ma quando tu sei con me io son felice, perché fior in fiorello l'amore bello vicino a te. E non so perché vedo intorno a me tutte rose viole. Io non so cos'è, c'è qualcosa in me che mi fa cantare. Margherita, cos'è mai la vita se non c'è l'amore che il nostro cuore fa palpitar?
Di verbena, se qualche vera l'amor ci dà, ma come il vento che in un momento che passerà.
Ma quando tu sei con me non son felice, perché fior in fiorello l'amore bello vicino a te, a te.
Thank you.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol. The following program is brought to you by Carol Cox. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.
Okay. Hey, good morning and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. I have lots and lots to talk about, and we, from the other side of the fence, we try not to glamour up anything. And I know a lot of you say, great, like what you do, and then there's a great many of you say, what a mean-spirited guy. But I found my niche. And then it's stressful. It's you don't make many friends, and everybody's leery of you, and all of those negative things. But you know what? Somebody got to clean the sewer. Really, you know, the term a plumber, and projects an image of really dirty, nasty. But imagine. We couldn't do without plumbers, believe it or not. Or we'd be high mucky muckies, if we didn't. So I'm proud of this role, and someone has to do it. And if you're content and believe that it's okay to wake up in the morning and be told there was a spill of 223,000 gallons of molasses and it killed 26,000 fish, and authorities don't really know, but they're exploring and believe that they can look at this, and they're looking into it, and then the next couple of hours of the day come by, oh, we own up to it, we did it, da da da. If that's okay, then I'm a misfit. But I've seemed to find a niche that continues to support my way of thinking. You trust government, you build good government, but someone has to pull maintenance on it. And then sometimes you have to call people on the carpet, whether they be uncle, friend, or foe. So anyway, I have Uncle Joe Tassel on the line with me again, and what we're going to be tossing around some of the issues. As you know, I don't like to sit and talk about the newspaper. They got their own advertisement. But these are issues that we've brought to you way back in December 2012. And you can go to carolcox.com and look at some of these situations where you'll find pictures posted of various houses and all. And one of the things that grabbed my attention before I bring on Uncle Joe here regarding these houses, boarded up homes, and only a magician will know exactly what DHHL is talking about. I don't even think they know what they're talking about. A lie is a lie to them. So if it works, pull it out of the hat and use it. So, but there's a quote, an interesting quote, and this is just laying the foundation to say to you, there's blame to be shared with everyone at all levels. So in this article today, it says, quote, it's been impossible at times for us to get answers on why these homes are still empty. And this is Kamaki Kanahele, chairman of the Sovereign Councils of the Hawaiian Homelands Assembly. Now, Mr. Kamaki, that's who he's identified in the article. I don't know if that was a generosity or kindness they wanted to show him. But Mr. Kamaki Kanahele is also a member of the community association out there, the Nanakuli Hawaiian Community Association. He's the president. So you would think, well, gee, shouldn't he have been out there and raising hell with them from the standpoint of the Hawaiian homes or the Hawaiian Nanakuli Community Association or whatever they call it? And then there's Mike Kahikina, who is on the board as well, that same board, and he's a commissioner, and he also serves with, it's called the Nanakuli Hawaiian Homestead Community Association. and the president is Kamaki Kanahele, one of the first vice VV, whatever that is, Michael P. Kahikina. And so they're quite active in these. And you would think as much involvement that they have with the Hawaiian Homes and the commissioner and all of that, you would think they could at least pull some kind of rabbit out of the hat and force these people. But then you have to understand that this is a system where many congregate around the trough, and they block the less educated, the less aggressive, the less fortunate. And they consume, and they get the roles of become serving as commissioners, and they become the president. And this Nanakuli Community Association, Hawaiian Community Association, is one of those associations that it's limited membership. And the membership, I think, we've talked about it, has some questions about how does one become a member. So while I laid blame on government and its dysfunctionality, there is a lot of blame to be shared by all. Some of the beneficiaries are just not reacting, but the shame of the whole process. There's a word called aloha, and it escaped many of those people who have now gotten involved with the aloha groups. Here's Kali Watson in the Hawaii Community Development Enterprise. Mike Kahikina is a member of that organization. You know, so, and he's a commissioner. So the activity that surrounds, it's like a feeding frenzy. And when, if you've ever seen a feeding frenzy, I don't care who's being bitten, you know. You bite and snatch back. You don't stay in the ball. So something's wrong here. The Hawaiian homelands issues they're manageable. But everybody that's involved on the periphery got their hands in the pudding. As Mufi Hanneman says, you know, the poi. Well, anyway, it's a mess. And this is why people are living on the beach and homeless while we have homes that are standing. Uncle Joe, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Carl.
Well, you heard my comments. Go ahead. And this is Uncle Joe Tassel. He's the one of the commissioners with the Hawaiian Homes Commission. And you're quite active in this. You were in a piece on KGMB last Friday, I guess, right?
Monday.
Last Monday, 10 o'clock news disclosing and showing some of these
boarded
homes. So let us hear from a commissioner's standpoint and from a person, a beneficiary. What do you think about this and from both aspects?
Well, you know, When we look at the situation, we wonder why are many of our Hawaiian people homeless, on the beach, lots in prisons. Is that the only home that they got for us, prison? Is that the reason why we have a high number of Hawaiians in prison? Is that the reason why we have a high cost of incarceration from our state government in privatized prisons? Is that the only home that they send us to?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Think about it. Think about the millions of dollars that are sent out of state to house Hawaiians for untold reasons. Tremendous. It speaks for itself. In 5 years prior to last year, well, this present year, I believe the budget was $233 million. The entire year, $233 million.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, we can't house them at home, in homes on Hawaiian homelands with that same money and give them, something better.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, 5 years, $229 million. God, that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're stealing the future. We could put that money into education instead of incarceration, with mm-hmm. very little or no rehabilitation.
And that's what the Hawaiian Homes Commissions Act was all about. You know, from its inception, it was geared to fail. And they've been trying to make it fail all of this time.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning, when Prince Kohiro went to Washington, he went to Washington with a responsibility and job to do to protect the interests of sugar people.
Mm-hmm.
Because their leases were coming up. And they sent Prince Kohiro with the intention of safeguarding the leases to make sure that they could renew their leases in the coming years.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, Prince Kohiro was asked, what's with your family? I mean, what's with your people? They're dying. So they tell the prince, we need to do something for the people of Hawaiian ancestry. As a result, the Hawaiian Homes Commissions Act. Now, sugar could not pass for releasing of these sugar lands unless the Hawaiian Homes Commissions Act was attached to the Sugar Act. So Hawaiian Homes Commissions Act became a rider act. And at the very beginning, the prince wanted 1/32nd of 1% to qualify.
Blood quantum, you mean?
Blood quantum, okay. To qualify. And right at the onset, the sugar people who was drafting the act will say, oh, no, we can't have that. And it's got to be 50%.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at my confirmation hearing, I was posed with that same question by Senator Malama Solomon, who looked at me and said, Uncle Joe, you know, when the prince went to Washington to develop the Hawaiian Homes Commissions Act, he wanted 1/32nd of 1% to qualify, blood quantum. What do you think? And you know, the tenor, the voice, and the manner that she questioned me was a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at her, I looked at the committee, I looked around the room, and Alapaki was still the chairman.
Mm-hmm.
And he just came into the room after visiting Molokai. And I looked at Alapaki, and then I looked at Bobby Hall, who was also in the room, and he was the deputy at that time. And I looked at the committee once more, and I went back to Malama Solomon to make sure that everybody was listening to what I had to respond to that question. I split my thumb and my index, and I dropped it halfway, and I said, 1/64th.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked at me surprised.
Yeah, so speaking of that, I want to get to some of the more specific salient points of what's actually going on now with the housing and the leases.
Well, that's the thing, Carol. You know, the qualification makes it so hard,
right.
And then you got to go get all these documents to verify your qualification.
But on the other hand, are they demanding the same requirements of non-Hawaiians like PESHA, like road and highway builders, close construction, and many other private companies that have obtained leases or revocable permits? Are they requiring them the same thing? And why have this strict condition on the beneficiaries when in fact all you need is a little greenback?
Well, that's the difference, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One is red blood and the other is green money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I hate to say it, yeah. But that's true.
And you know, these are my comments, because you have to walk amongst these people as a statesman. And me, I'm a man who just simply makes statements. And I would say that going to Washington is historic and what have you. But I go down to Washington Place right here in Honolulu and go across the street to the Capitol. And I would ferret out the Malama Solomons, the Clayton Hees, the Brigwood Galaterias, who sit, the Miley Shimabukuro, who sit and handle the Hawaiian affairs. and let this thing decay as it does, and then in turn promote and install at the wishes of the governor, Jobi Musagatani, who sits there and control the meetings at the commission meeting. And then I observed her in Kona the other day, the way she, I'll describe it as disrespectful and manhandling you. She moves the schedule around, the agenda around at her leisure to accommodate and defend herself while keeping you quiet. It's the most insulting thing I've witnessed, but it's a system, and it's those people with lots of aloha. Aloha, uncle, but screw you. You know, it's something's wrong. There's a mental illness amongst these people in government, because you can't stand by and let article after article after article, beneficiaries suffering, the jails bulging with Native Hawaiians young, and the schools with no air conditioning, you name it. And then they show back up at meetings with lays on and aloha. I'm sorry, I'm lost. Okay, maybe you can give me a more educated, a more...
Well, let me give you another inference. There's a woman who, I believe back in 2008, and that's about 5 years ago, mm-hmm. submitted an application to get an industrial lot, and she followed up with letters, and then finally she gets the air to call Uncle Joe. Maybe Uncle Joe can help you. And she calls me, and in the conversation she tells me, "Well, Uncle Joe, you know what? On Thursday I have a meeting at the department." And I said, "Good. You go to the meeting. Get all your papers in order now. Go to the meeting." And when she gets there, she's told by the department, "Oh my God, we lost your papers. We can't find it."
Mm-hmm.
But she has all of her documents in hand now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this, you're talking about Noel Alana, owner of Kalakanui Trucking, and we've talked about that issue on the show here, where she submitted an application for lease on Hawaiian homelands in Kalailoa, and in turn was told by the land agent, Kalei Young, "Well, one, we'll accept your application, but two, we don't want that kind of activity or business in the area." These are the allegations of the claim that Ms. Alana has communicated to us. And in turn, she, as you know, she then is denied. But to crush rocks and do that kind of processing of natural materials, well...
And they're doing that right now.
Well, yeah. What they did then is allowed a non-Hawaiian company, who, by the way, was on the run because they had gotten violations in Mililani area, and moved over there, and they had an application. They didn't lose their application. And then there's road and highway builders who we can't find an application, but they went in under the wings of Pesha, who leases, they claim, 80 acres of land. But the problem is, Pesha can't lease a sublease. It was only for for storage and transportation. So how does this company, and as you were last night watching these trucks haul in to road and highway building.
Yeah, this convoy.
Convoy, and let me...
A constant convoy for over how many hours?
Well, you and I stood there for a couple hours, but they're going to run 24 hours a day. This is what we call gravel gate. And this company gets special treatment. And Alana...
And the beneficiary does not.
The beneficiary's
application is lost.
Got lost.
No. Is that a person of incompetency? If you were in a giant and listen, Hawaiian Homes is not a fly by night thing. Hawaiian Homes has been here with 200,000 acres. So Hawaiian Homes is not a fly-by-night. Hawaiian Homes is not a pitch suite.
Yeah.
Homes is not a small thing.
Yeah, and
Now, in a large corporation, you lose records. You know what?
You lose your job.
Lose your job.
But that was my opening statement. There's no accountability. You can, in that office of Hawaiian Homeland and other state agencies under Neil Abercrombie, you can get caught with your hands in the cookie jar. And guess what happened? We'll take it under advisement. We'll consult the Attorney General. And that means it'll never be heard again. But if Chemo has a crack pipe, Chemo's going to jail.
Yeah, he's going to go to prison.
Yeah, but you can rip off the beneficiaries. You can violate the Congressional Act. You can do everything to subvert it.
And sometimes I wonder, once they catch you in the cookie jar, do they have a cookie feast?
Oh, yeah. But here's specifics. Alana met with Linda Chen, who you know in your capacity as a commissioner. But what was communicated to Linda Chen, and these are notes from a meeting on October 3rd, 2013, 9 a.m. there, with Alana and her son and Miss Linda Chen. She states, these are the notes, Pasha has 80 acres and its use is for storage and transportation. Road and highway is outside of that scope, so they were told to get out. Probably last week, so that would have been a week before October 3rd. So, Uncle Joe, why then, if this is Linda Chen acknowledging that they're in violation, acknowledging they're in contravention to the permit and the revocable permits and Pasha's in violation, why then are they allowing road and highway builders to bring in some 43,000 ton of materials from Canada and place on that land when they're supposed to be out in a week, 2 weeks.
I can't understand that either.
And then the native Hawaiian person is trying to enhance her business, and they're supposed to help the beneficiary.
Absolutely.
And those that are listening and chiming in, don't think that we're saying Hawaiians, this is a welfare, because some of you are misinformed and think that it's a matter of Hawaiians wanting something for nothing. No, they just want something because you took everything away from them, and they're trying to get back what little bit they can. And guess what? Even when it is a sign and they acknowledge that it is rightfully theirs, they still
not even that
will not allow the proper and the efficient, respectable way to disseminate or to spread the wealth, so to speak, or benefit the beneficiaries. What it is to benefit Neil Abercrombie and his friends, Brigwood Galateria and his friend. For example, I talk about the Norman Sakamoto. He was a senator, right?
Right.
Now he's over there working for Daryl Young, who and Puni Chi, Puni Aloha Chi, or I think he should change his name to Puni Chi Chi or whatever, because they both work for Nestor Garcia. So they know how to hide and lie to people as city employees. They were there when Nestor was stealing and lying to the public. And then Neil Abercrombie appoints them, allowed them to be hired. He didn't object, or Joby or someone hired them to be the gatekeepers. So when you get that, and they will lie to Jesus if he asks them a question. Why are we stuck with boarded up homes? Why are we stuck with discrimination and disparity in the dealing of these permits and the revocable permits? Why is George Grace being threatened with
eviction
and a search warrant served on him, and yet they're opening the gates at midnight to let road and highway builders come in and do worse than what he was accused of?
Yep.
Something's wrong there. This is, you know, at some point I'm expecting men with crosses and flames, because this is where it has degraded to. There is no aloha, and there's just no justice, to be honest with you. You and I have worked on many of these issues.
You know, Carol, talking about George, the sad thing in George's case, besides not being able to operate properly on 100 acres,
mm-hmm.
besides being told that you can't use the lower 40, for whatever reasons, what was the bad part of it is what they did when they took Hawaiians to fight Hawaiians at the 40, the lower 40. That was terrible. That was terrible. Do you know that he's over there and that place has all these artifacts, etc.? I think you better go over there and check that out.
Right.
And they went.
Right.
And they went. And one said yes, and another, one practitioner said yes, and another practitioner said no.
Yeah.
Now that's being very distasteful to take Hawaiians to fight Hawaiians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's the
and that's exactly how I felt.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I felt at the time of my confirmation. Mm-hmm. No, of Joby's confirmation in the auditorium. At the state capitol.
Right. Well, I, you know, I had the great fortune of seeing something in action, and I wrote about it at my Facebook.
Yes.
The Carol Cox Show, by the way, that's a Facebook page. And if you guys should, go there and like it so we can get to talking. And I like you, you like me. But what happens is that they want to destroy this man because there's a financial interest, this man being George Grace. And I draw that conclusion because you're bending over backwards and turning your head away from Pesha and allowing it to do things that is direct conflict of what you are allowed and authorizing others. They're not in compliance with many issues, but you're hammering George Grace and some other beneficiaries who have permits. And then in turn, they never ever want to admit that on George Grace's property, Christmas time, 1,200 homeless individuals get to come and experience a little dignity for a day. Most of them beneficiaries. They didn't discriminate whether you Hawaiian or Portuguese or black. They didn't care. It was come one, come all. But guess what? You never hear the Department of Hawaiian Homeland even compliment him or even participate. You would think they would say, well, gee, if this is a gathering place, let's fire Puna Chi Aloha and let's let our actions speak for ourselves. We don't need someone to speak for us. Let's get rid of Darryl Young. He doesn't know if he's coming or going, but hopefully he's going. And let's take that money and contribute it to the enhancement of these celebrations or winning back people's dignity and give them a day in life where they can feel like they're human and come out of the bushes. You don't see that. So their actions, they're being Brigwood Galatera, Clayton He, Malama Solomon, they got what they want, you see.
Here's another one, Carol. Uncle Ben. Uncle Ben helps the needy children also.
Mm-hmm.
With disabilities, and he has a system of pony riding that helps with therapy, and then he's extended himself to the wounded warrior who's come back from the war a casualty, and he has provided therapy up at his ranch, and now he's being a victim.
This is Mr. Ben Char, right?
Uncle Ben Char.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we hope to bring some light to his situation, but what...
What I'm saying, it's a matter of compounding efforts to block our people from moving forward. And then when they get, and then when they get our own people to fight against our own people, the old story, there goes the Hawaiians, they're fighting against each other.
Right.
For what?
Right.
The Hawaiians don't fight each other.
Well, no, they just use bombs.
The Portuguese don't fight each other. The Koreans don't fight each other.
Yeah.
The Tong Wall in China.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What's that in Japan? Yeah, what is that?
Yeah.
They fight each other. We know different.
Yeah. Well, human beings, but when you're trying to steal from people and suppress them and just rip them off continually, you have to build this facade, the Department of Hawaiian Homeland, the chairman of the Hawaiian Affairs in the Senate, chairman of Hawaiian Affairs in the House. You understand. And then you get this guy, Neil, I got a handle on everything, with the leis and aloha and a big smile, and I point the Islas and the Lopezes and all of those people, and they have the aloha, but he still has a string in his hand, the control panel in his hand. And in turn, they're not going to step out. And I know some of you out there in love with Isla. I like Isla too, but this is a game. It's a game. They're using you to screw your own people. And you're not rising to the occasion. You can speak up and tell him, I took your job. You didn't take my voice. But yeah. We don't see that kind of action. They drive by. They live in the Hawaiian homes, Nanakuli. Karanawana, Hawaiian homelands. William Isla, Hawaiian homelands. I don't know where the others live, but I would submit to all of you out there, if it's truly in your heart, and if you think you can pick up the paper one time after the other and see sludge being dumped, and you're the head of the agency, and you're dragging your feet and talk, you spoke out on everything else, whether it was bombs in Makua or driving military trucks or driving by with a helicopter, you pissed and moaned and lied, you know, just raise hell. But now, sludge and why and I... Well, we're talking with the Attorney General. Look, man, you have a permit. You have a staff. It says that this is what you can and you can't do. They didn't do what the permit allowed. Take some action. But you see, when you're in ripoff mode and you're being used as an implement, take it as you wish. This is the way it is.
Well, just like the beginning when I talked about the two vessels, one the surface lowering and the
right.
other stopped going up.
Right.
Well, who's got the key to the gate? Who's got the key to the gate?
Mm-hmm.
Who's minding the store? Who's allowing the insult to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're not supposed to, but you know what? They gave us a key.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we do with this key? Shall we go open the lock?
Yeah.
Is anybody looking?
Yep.
Yeah. Anybody watching? Oh no, Carol caught us he caught us red-handed. We had the dump up and the sludge coming out of the back. Oh no!
Yeah. But they had gotten calls earlier.
Yes.
And weeks before, and their city councilman, now she's a queen of savior, but in reality, she wrote a bogus letter, which the DPP said half of what she wrote was false, claiming that they were doing certain things.
And the sad part about it was Hawaii Kai was told you have five different areas in your own backyard.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they trucked it across the island, coast to coast.
So what I would... leave in this conversation with anyone out there, if you think I'm mean-spirited and I'm a bad person for saying it, how I say it and communicating it, my actions will never rise to the occasion of betrayal. And when you are in a position and you're in government and you get voted in to represent them, no matter how I speak and how I deliver it, I can never ever contend or compete with your sleaziness to take money. You know, to sit there and represent people and then have an Uncle Joe Tassel out there working his heart out and then suppress him. Don't listen to him. All he's doing is saying to you, we have problems. Our people need relief. You are supposed to give us relief. This is what, and they look at you and say, well, Uncle Joe, that's enough. We don't have any more. You remember that incident at the Masagatani's swearing in confirm it?
That's right.
Brigwood, I'm a Hawaiian, Anna, you know.
I remember.
I remember well. I don't know how you feel.
Then he turned around and he told me, Uncle Joe, get to the quick.
Yeah, get to the quick. And then when I approach Malama Solomon, he says, well, Michelle Kauhani laid out some things here that indicts quite a few people. And note, you didn't ask a single question. She had a vulgarity and told Brigwood, let's go, get out of here, you know, and walked away. So... you know, there's an old saying that Idi Amin used to eat people, and he was a leader. He was an African leader. So if he can eat his own, Malama Solomon, Clayton Hee, you're doing the same thing. You're destroying people. They're living in bushes, and you could stand up and speak out.
You know,
hold people accountable.
You know, Carol, shortly after we got appointed, you know, something very unusual happened at this appointment when I was appointed. There were six of us appointed at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And never in my history, knowing of appointments to Hawaiian Homes, where there are six commissioners appointed at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for that was to safeguard the vote. There was only three at any one time.
Right,
because there were three because there were six up and three down.
Right,
there were six that were sitting and three new ones.
Right,
and no matter how you went in, you were on the losing end already.
This was the Abercrombie style.
Well, he appointed six of us.
Yeah,
and for months I tried to get a meeting with him with the six of us.
Mm-hmm.
Because we wanted to tell him. We're not a rubber stamp.
Right, but he wouldn't meet with you.
And you know what? We never got that meeting.
Mm-hmm.
We never got that meeting. The only meeting we got was when Michelle Kahane was called up to the fifth floor by David Louis mm-hmm. and Bruce Kofa.
Mm-hmm.
And they offered her a different position.
By using... DHHL money to work.
Using DHHL money
mm-hmm.
for this other position in another department.
Mm-hmm.
How dare them?
Yeah.
How dare them take our money, even though it's Hawaiian people,
yeah.
and leave the homes boarded?
Well, how did they do it? They did it. It wasn't masterful. It just co-opted and picked and choose the, quote, leaders. And in turn, use them to stick it to their own people and the beneficiaries. And whenever there's an issue, I watched that parade, Oswald Stender coming in and testifying on behalf of Joby Masagatani. And you know, of course, Oz, you're making money. You got big money. You don't want someone in there would say no to you, Oz, because you know, someone might turn you in at the Bishop Estate, you know, all kinds of things. So it's this kind of rude and crude way that they're handling Hawaiian affairs. And the shame of it is the leaders, the Hawaiian leaders are compromising themselves by hanging out there with them and then shooing you away. And God only knows what they like to do to me.
Well, you know, a couple weeks down the road from Michelle's fifth floor episode,
mm-hmm.
I get called to the fifth floor,
mm-hmm.
and I'm offered another position in another commission.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, when I get called to the fifth floor, you know, Auntie June goes with me every place I go.
Right.
Very seldom does she not accompany me. She's my lawyer. She'll catch the spear for me.
Mm-hmm. And so...
You know what?
The meeting, what was the meeting? Uncle Joe, you gotta go?
As we walk into the office, security tells her, oh, no, I'm sorry, you cannot come in.
Right.
What? The meeting's over. I'm going home. There is no meeting.
And this was...
Wait, Uncle Joe.
With the governor, right?
Yeah, with the governor and Marvin Wong.
Uh-huh. Well, folks, I can tell you, Uncle Joe, this thing, are you going to try to bring this matter before... I know that there's going to be at least three beneficiaries filing complaints to the Department of the Interior, while... you know, even the Interior Department is failing because it should never have gotten to this point. So it's double-edged sword. You know, on one hand we say we don't trust them, but then the formality, you got to go and do this and file a complaint.
It needs to come to the table. It needs to come to the table. Enough is enough. We've been screwed over too long.
Yeah. And the boarded up homes, that just is mind boggling. That
hey, listen, this is what Rob gets as a response. We have one boarded home in Waianae, and yet that morning we went to four or five of them.
Yeah, and we didn't go to all of them.
Our home because it's still in litigation. And people still have the lease to the, mm-hmm. and it says, Kapu, keep out, right. Department of Hawaiian Homes.
Right. Well, you know, if they could act on behalf of the beneficiary as swiftly they act on behalf of Norman Sakamoto to get him a job once he lost for trying to intervene in people's private lives, and then if Puni Aloha Chi, look how quick they hired him. Money gone down the drain, but he comes in to say what they want to say. You know, and then there's Daryl Young.
They hire people to do the job that we're supposed to be doing within the department.
Right. You need a spokesman to communicate that you're failing? You know, I'd like to talk to you about boarded up homes, Ms. Masagatani. Oh, I can't comment right now. I need you to talk to my public relations person. What public relations? It's at its lowest point. We're calling to say your system is failing.
And you're the person in charge.
Yeah.
What's a public relations person have to do with this?
Yeah, you can't get. And he just, by the way, came on board after he helped Nestor Garcia conceal his ill activities, bad activities, or questionable or unethical behavior. And now he's over there at the Hawaiian home. You see, that's a statement in itself, what Neil Abercrombie thinks about the Hawaiian people and the future of the Hawaiian people. His whole stance has zero integrity. As far as it relates, yes, he hired some Hawaiians. He gathered them around him, and you know, it reminds me of Mississippi when they used to say, "My best friend's colored," and that's sorry, folks. That's what Neil is doing. Neil is paving a way.
Hawaiian,
robbing the Hawaiian people.
My brother Kamaki is Hawaiian.
Yeah, my brother Kamaki is Hawaiian. You're right. My auntie, you know, and. I only can hearken back to, I used to have aunts and that were, they would go across the tracks to work in the whites' homes, and the kids would suckle the aunts, right?
Yep.
And that's where they got the aunt Annie from. They would call, you know, here's a grown black woman with children, grandmother, and they call her Annie, you know. So Neil Abercrombie, you know, it stirs that comment in itself. This is why I'm so watchful. Now, locally here, people probably don't come off that way. They don't have the history. But the reality is, when he used that, my toes wanted to curl and say, well, I don't want to be insightful. But this guy is, he's using his both ends against one another and playing the game. It's just not working, you know.
It's not.
It's working for him, I should say. Let me back up. But
okay, yeah, I agree.
You know, but
it's working for one, but not for all.
Yeah, and the so boarded up homes.
It's working. It's working for the out of towner, and it's not working for the downtowner.
Yeah, downtown Charlie Brown. He's not going to benefit them, but this.
And look at it. Who are these guys? Roe, Pasha, whatever. Who are these guys? These guys are all out of towners.
Big money guys out of town, you know, that got companies, and then you take Hunt and you.
The Homes Commissions Act was not made for out of towners.
Right. And you know, one of the things that was before that board over there, before we go, was that DiBarlo shopping mall. Once again,
65 acres.
Right. Once again, Linda Chen loses the application for a Native Hawaiian business, woman-owned. They lose that application, but she's shepherding and riding herd shotgun for DiBarlo.
Yep.
And in turn, they're getting pennies, because where else would you find that many acres of land connected that would accommodate
malls,
right?
Contiguous
acreage, and that's a premium, especially on this island. So
we're going to give you a diamond quarter.
Yeah,
we take home dollar.
Yeah, we're going to give you $100,000 a year for 65 years, and then we might want an extension, but then we'll give it back to you. Of course you will, because you don't want to have to destroy it, and you don't want to have to dig it up, and you don't want to have to, you know, deconstructing it. Of course. And then what was to add insult to injury was to hear one of the, well, a couple of the commissioners sit there and go, well, my father loved the 49ers. Well, yeah, I did too, but still, it has nothing to do with the beneficiaries.
We're not playing football. We're not playing football. We're playing people. Strictly Hawaiian people being homeless.
Yeah, but that's what it comes back to, right? It is how the state of affairs and the welfare of the native people. If there's a program, it's not as if they're trying to say to the state government and the federal government, we need you to set a system up to protect us or our interests or enhance our future as Native Hawaiians. They're not asking that. They're saying, we want you to enforce what is in place. Right?
Yep.
And they can't seem to come to terms with that, they being government, because there's just too much money, and they can bring their friends in, and road and highway builders, a multi-billion-dollar company with other little tentacles. I guess they're more important than the Native Hawaiian future or the welfare of the Native Hawaiian culture.
You see, it all comes down to this. There'll come a day when all of these guys are going to go home. They got a home to go to.
Right.
If Hawaiian Homes is not the homes for Hawaiian,
mm-hmm.
where are you going to send them?
Yeah.
Where are you going to send the Hawaiians if the Hawaiian Homes
mm-hmm.
is not for Hawaiians?
And you know, Uncle Joe, what? There's this proliferation of solar farms on and other big businesses on Hawaiian homeland. So if you're not giving leases out and you're saying you're inviting these businesses to set themselves up, shouldn't there be revenue now generated that they could eliminate the board-up houses and create a program, financial program that would...
This is what happens at a hearing, at a commission meeting, when the proposal comes up, and one of the commissioners say, well, can you guarantee me that you will hire people from the homeland?
Right.
Now, mind you, the name of the company is Homelands LLC.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So one of the commissioners asked, can you guarantee me that you will hire from the homeland?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your name is Homeland.
Yeah, well...
And the response is, there is no guarantee that we're going to hire people from the homeland.
Yeah. Well, always remember...
And let me finish. And I look at this person and I go like this. And there is no guarantee that we're going to accept your proposal.
Right. Well, keep in mind, Uncle Joe, and we're down to the last minute. They shot all of the buffalo to take the food out of the mouth of the people of the Native Americans. Right?
Yep.
They claim all of their land and basically they pushed them into oblivion. So by quantifying blood quantum, in Mississippi, if I'm black, I'm black because I have just one drop of blood in me, I'm black.
Yeah.
But out here, the rule is you have to have
50%.
So by mathematics, genocide is occurring, and aloha.
Well, you know, Carol, one last thing. God. What canoe are you going to put me in? And what home are you going to send me to?
Right, the jail in Oklahoma.
Oh.
That's where the Hawaiians will be residing. What's your address, Kimo? Oh, somewhere in Oklahoma.
Hey, listen. Listen, thank you.
All right, Uncle Joe, we'll let you go and take care.
And you have a good day. God bless.
Aloha. Thank you.
Aloha, Hawaii.
All righty. Okay, guys, we're going to get out of here. And again, Celeste and the family, I got to get by there and see you and say hello. And I hope all is well. And Choice, hang in there. Next year you'll be 5. Well, I guess this will be 5 this year. But anyway, we'll talk to you later and see you. Yeah, try the Carol Cox Show Facebook and you might find some interesting things there. We're going to take it up there.
Non una stella brilla in mezzo al cielo, la stella mia sei tu sul mio cammino, tu m'accompagni e segui il mio destino, tu sei la vita.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.